For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They are now 2-7. We've got the bye coming up here. And to talk about everything, every single Monday, you guys know. Win, lose, or draw, Nathan Zagura joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and he joins us now. Hi, Nathan.
What's going on, Nick? How you doing?
You know, it's another Monday here, and it's great to have you. Had a wonderful weekend, just in general. Life is good. Specific to yesterday's matchup, did you see that as a regression or just like a bad matchup specifically for this Browns team and the way they're kind of put together?
No, I just think it was Browns did not play a good game. I think they were outplayed in all three phases. You know, offensively, you knew it was going to be a game that was going to test Jameis Winston's patience. We knew that the Chargers were going to play a lot of zone, especially on first and second down, a lot of two high safeties, a lot of shell coverage, and force him to be, you know, patient and pick away at it and dink and dunk down, and also called for the Browns to try to run them out of those looks. And unfortunately, you know, couldn't get any more push on the offensive line. Nick Chubb was hit on average once again at the line of scrimmage, and it's clear that, you know, he's still working his way back. And then, you know, Jameis had the three interceptions. And, you know, last week obviously had some that were dropped. And this week, unfortunately, they did drop a couple, but they caught the majority of them. Made a great play in the corner of the end zone after that 8-minute drive to start the second half that I think really kind of was the backbreaker. And, you know, the Browns offensively had four straight possessions in the second half that got into Chargers territory that ended with interception, 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 blocked field goal. Special teams had the blocked field goal for them trying to make a kick and then also gave up the big punt return that set up the first touchdown. You had blown coverages on defense. So, yeah, it just wasn't a good performance. And the score, I think, certainly was indicative of that. And it was a game that you really had to win. You know, the Chargers are a team that you were going to have to catch to make the playoffs. And it would have been great to have that head-to-head win to get to 3-5 and instead, you know, or to 3-6, I'm sorry. And instead, here you sit now at 2-7.
Nathan, you mentioned the couple big plays. I thought the blown coverage in the second one, it could be a debate. Was it on Denzel? Was it on Juan Thornhill? Each player both took their own responsibility for it. How did you see that one? Was it just miscommunication?
Yeah, that you're talking. The first one was the one between. The second one was Denzel just didn't get the call that he was supposed to be in cover three, and he was sitting down as though he were playing cover two when the rest of the team played cover three and gave up that vertical. The first one, you know, I don't know the exact call, but if there are only two possibilities, if it was cover two, then that, and that's what it appeared to be. It certainly was cover two on the other side of the field. You had the Mike Ryan linebacker running, you know, up the middle being that deep safety, and then you had the two deep safeties on the outside that I think it looked like Thornhill kind of bit on Ladd McConkey's post out of the slot instead of getting vertical when number one goes vertical and getting to the outside there. Denzel was clearly playing cover two. Now, the only thing that I could think of that it could have been a miscommunication is if they were actually playing cover six, which is half the field cover two, which would have been the other side, and then this side with the trips would have been cover four, which means Denzel should have carried that vertical and Juan Thornhill would have had the vertical over the slot. It's hard to say because I don't know the exact call on that defense. It appeared that Denzel thought that one was cover two as well. And if it was, then that would have been on Thornhill. If it was quarters or on that side of the field in a cover six scenario, then that would have been on Denzel. But it really doesn't matter as much as it matters that it happened. And the first one happened on a 3rd and 21. And you cannot give up touchdowns on plays like that.
Nathan Zagura on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I heard you and Andrew talking about this at the end of the game. The idea that the Chargers didn't run the ball near the end of the game. I'm just curious whether that was more about where the Chargers were, about that was maybe saying something about the Browns.
I was just surprised they didn't run it. I mean, it seems that's, you know, that's very much the Harbaugh way. And it was at that point, the clock was their biggest friend. So it just didn't make sense for me from just a strategy standpoint. Obviously, they did just fine in the game and it really wasn't going to affect the outcome either way. But I just thought it was surprising from that standpoint. And they just had to run the clock out. It was a three possession game and they came out and I think on one of those possessions went three straight passes and ended up giving the ball back to the Browns. So I just thought that was odd. Nothing really more than that.
Is Nick Chubb struggling? Is that more on Nick Chubb or is that more on the offensive line or a combination?
I think Nick Chubb's working his way back. I think we saw in some of those the vision is there, the ability to cut is there, but the acceleration out of it is not what we're accustomed to. You know, for the season, he's averaging 2.7 yards a carry, but he's averaging, you know, 2.6 yards a carry after contact. So he's just not getting any runway. He's not getting any room. He's basically being hit at the line of scrimmage on every carry. And so that's that part of it's on the offensive line. You know, the league leaders or the guys who are at the top of the league are right around 3.5 yards after contact per carry typically. So, you know, that's something certainly that you can look at. But it really, to me, has been more about, you know, Nick Chubb not really getting a lot of opportunity from the line. And then also when he gets it, you know, he hasn't been the same. Just to give apples to apples, Nick Chubb in 22 was 3.5 yards after contact per carry and averaged 5 yards a carry. In 21, he was 4.2 yards after contact and averaged 5.5. Going back to 2020, which is the last one I'll do here, he was 4 yards after contact, averaged 5.5. So in traditionally, he's getting a yard and a half more after contact than he currently is, and he was also getting a yard and a half down the field more before taking contact than he currently is. So it sounds like it's a combination of both of those things.
Nathan, looking to the deadline tomorrow, obviously the big name out there is Zadarius. Do you think that yesterday, the result of yesterday's game, maybe pushed this organization to being a little bit more aggressive at the deadline and maybe opening up some more moves there?
Yeah, I would think so. You have to be realistic about where you are and then what that means in terms of your ability, you know, to play in the postseason this year. And I think it just means you kind of have to look a little bit more at, you know, next year and 25 and beyond and figure out who are the key players that are going to be on your team in 2025 and beyond. And then everybody else at that point, you know, you want to see those players and the others, you know, if you can return some value for them, that makes a lot of sense. So I think, yeah, 2-7 and just being realistic about where you are, you're tied for the worst record in the NFL at this point. You know, playoffs feel very, very unlikely right now. And so, yeah, I think that would help them become more sellers than they could have been. And if you won that game, you know, then you talk yourself, okay, we go and you beat New Orleans, who just fired their head coach. They're struggling. And then you'd say, okay, well, now Thursday Night Football against the Steelers actually is a game that matters. Maybe it's a little bit different. But it kind of feels like, yeah, that result and the way in which it happened, the three interceptions by Jameis, it all kind of added up to me to saying, okay, we have to be realistic about where we are right now and then obviously have an eye towards the future.
Nathan, we have 9 2-win teams in the NFL right now. It seems like a lot more than we typically have. Why do you think that is?
It's the most since the 70s. I saw that stat earlier today. I don't know. I think there's been some bad ball around the league this year. And, you know, typically it's a league that's built on parity, right? That's what it's supposed to be all about. But this year there's really kind of been anything but. You've had just some teams that have not been able to get the job done. And to have 9 teams, you know, more than a quarter of the league have 2 wins at this point in the season, it's really stunning, honestly. And I don't have the answer for you as to why it's happening, but it is stunning.
Nathan, how much of yesterday's offensive issues were on Jameis and how much was maybe on the coverage and obviously what the Chargers are doing?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Darn well.
I think, you know, this is Jameis, right? Jameis is going to be able to throw for a lot of yards. He's typically going to be able to throw for a lot of touchdowns, but he's going to throw a lot of picks. The last time he was a full-time starter, Jameis Winston, you know, led the league with over 30 interceptions. He's thrown now 102 in his career. So I think it's just, and you go back to the Baltimore game, I mean, they dropped a few that should have been interceptions. So that's just kind of, at this point in his career, we kind of know who Jameis is, with the good, the bad, all of it. And there is certainly substantial good, and then there is also the downside that he will throw the ball to the opponent from time to time. So, yeah, I think it was just, I thought he didn't see it as well as he did against Baltimore, and I think part of that is, you know, the Chargers are so committed to kind of those shell coverages and play them very, very well. you know, whereas you got a lot more single high looks, which is a lot more opportunity for Jameis Winston in one-on-one situations, either on the outside or, you know, when you're getting guys trying to run those combination routes to clear out and, you know, get those underneath. Now, when they did get some of those that were open, he threw it. The one of Jordan Akins comes to mind. But at other times, I don't think he saw it quite as well, and at times was maybe looking downfield, hoping for something to come open instead of taking some of the layups that were there to him. There was a third down and four where he had Judy wide open for a first down and instead kind of held it, and it ended up being a negative play.
Yeah, a bright spot, Nathan. Cedric Tillman finds the end zone again. Another 70-yard game. Did the light bulb just go on? Why? The past 3 weeks, he's been incredible.
Yeah, and that part of it's also opportunity, right? I mean, he's now out there every snap. He's playing with confidence. He's playing with speed. If you look at what he's been able to do over the last three games, you know, he's been one of the best receivers, most productive receivers in the National Football League. For the people who play fantasy football, he's the number one PPR receiver over the last 3 weeks in the NFL. 32 targets, that's first in the NFL. 255 receiving yards, that's fifth. He's got three receiving touchdowns, that's tied for second. So he has been sensational. I'm pretty sure it's 22 receptions as well, which is in the top five. So he's been a top five production receiver now. Over the last 3 weeks, he's looked great, and he had one, you know, that he would say got away from him in this one down at the goal line, and then a couple plays later, it ends up being an interception. You would have loved to see that one be, you know, a touchdown, hit him right in the chest, but that did not turn out to be.
Nathan, we appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff as always, and enjoy the bye. Going anywhere special?
No, I'll just be here, kind of a little staycation, which will be, it'll be very, very nice. Get to spend some time with the family and watch football on Sunday, and we'll see how it all unfolds around the rest of the NFL.
I mean, the Saints kind of looks gettable now, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they're a team in, you know, obviously a team in a little bit of disarray, less than the Panthers at home. They fired their coach, so we'll see what that ends up looking like by the time we get there in 2 weeks.
We just need a couple teams more to keep firing their coaches, and I think we got a chance here. Nathan, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you, and a great job on the broadcast with Andrew yesterday.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So I know we're going to get into a lot of what he had to say there. But, yeah, I mean, I tried to get, you know, hey, is this about regression? Is this just a bad matchup? And I think Nathan kind of came with, it's just a bad performance.
I'm cool with signing up for that. It just might be a little too late, though, Nick. You know, that was the chance to go ahead and buy a lot of people back into the Browns for the season. And it just kind of, it's gone now.
Yeah, but a clarity is not the worst thing you can possibly have. And you guys can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken and Anthony, the morning boys.
Why didn't you do your thing?
I tried a little more subdued this time. On Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast. Seen, listen live on the 92.3 The Fan Extra channel, on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. And Nathan did get into the Jameis Winston performance and how much of that was on Jameis. Quintessential Jameis? Is that where we're going with this? That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.